Episode 248, How to Have a Positive Relationship with Money.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, everybody, and welcome to Trick Podcast of Joy, where we are going, what? The weather's got you down. All the brakes in your car, they don't even seem to work anymore. Bro, you're looking at your wallet, at your waistline, wondering, man, what is going on? Don't worry, my dear gozo friend. Let's spend the next few minutes talking about grace, talking about joy, talking about go-go, talking about gozo today here at the Trick Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV. I want to talk to you about how to have a positive relationship with money. Got my gozo bell right here, my gozo mug. If you are on YouTube or on Periscope, on my Snapchat channel, wherever you may be on my podcast, I want to welcome you. And here's my basic idea. I think that many of us, especially people of faith, have a bad relationship with money. Can you say, man, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's almost like a love-hate thing. You don't want money because you're not supposed to. At least that's what we've been told, right? Don't desire money, and yet you need it, and yet you want to make it because of X, Y, and Z. Maybe you want a nice pair of Nike Air Jordans. Man, have you seen those on Justin Timberlake? Did you see those at the Super Bowl? And so you have these desires, and yet as a person of faith, you want to honor God, and so you're scared. So what happens is that many young people, many people of all ages are stuck in the middle, basically trying to honor God by not making money or not loving money. And we say, you know, we use the verse in Matthew 5 and 6 about not being a lover of money, and so all the dangers and the rich young ruler and all the different parables of Jesus that are obviously very important. I'm not discounting that for a second. And yet we don't know what to do with all the other verses that talk about abundance and prosperity. And I'm not talking about prosperity gospel, so hear me on this. I'm simply talking about all of the other heroes of the faith, such as Abraham, Paul. You know, Paul was probably rich. Let me tell you that. Just because he was a tent maker, it doesn't mean that he didn't have any money. In fact, he probably was very rich. Now, just think of even Theophilus, who funded the writing of the book of Luke. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah. There were many, Lydia in the New Testament, who had a cloth business. There were many business people in the Bible. Did you know that fishermen were not poor? They actually had a pretty good business. And that's why it's even more amazing that these fishermen left everything. Matthew was a tax collector, Zacchaeus. There are a bunch of people that Jesus blessed in spite of their richness. It wasn't until they became poor that Jesus blessed them. In fact, Jesus blessed a lot of rich people. Now, did he challenge the rich? Of course. The classic verse, as I said, is one where he says, do not be a lover of money. And so let me say right up off the bat that money is dangerous. So is sex. So is technology. So is driving fast. But it doesn't mean that I shouldn't have a car or that I shouldn't be married because of the dangers that each one of these things may have. Jesus warns us that we should not pursue or be driven or be taken by money, because anything that gets in the way of us loving God should be destroyed, including money, including what you eat, including, I don't know, even just what you read or what you watch on TV. It's not money that's the problem. It's man, it's us as humans that make everything into an idol, including money. So Jesus warned about that, just as he warned about sexuality and making that an idol. But on the other side of all this argument is the fact that I meet a ton of young people that want to make ends meet so that they can help their parents, so that they can help their sisters and brothers, so that they can provide for people back home. If you're an adult, you want to be able to make a living so that you can send money back to your mom and dad back home. I meet a ton of young people that are working 5 jobs and they still can't pay their bills, and so they live at home. And yet the church tells them, don't make money. You better look out. Money is evil. Oh, no, I meant the love of money. But what people hear is that trying to have a business, trying to move up in the world is somehow evil, and so therefore you shouldn't do it. And then that thought is reinforced by adults, by well-meaning pastors and leaders and spiritual mentors. And so it creates this hate, love-hate relationship with money. And let me just say, I have a very healthy relationship with money, just like I do with my sexuality and with my wife and with, I don't know, watching too much Netflix. You know, my desire is in everything in my life to have it submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. And so when I think of money, I'm always thinking, okay, why am I doing this? And I've made mistakes. I've made deals for the wrong reasons. Of course I have. And so I confess and I say, Lord, help me to make better decisions with money. Help me to not spend so much. Help me to not get into debt with this thing. Help me to curb my appetite. Of course, I have done all those things. But I've also made great decisions about money to help other people, to make more money so I can help my parents, so I can buy my daughter a new computer so she can go to school. Even if it's just simply to enjoy a keyboard, just that I just want to play or go to a nice dinner with my wife. God is not against you enjoying the money that you make that He provides. In fact, there's something generous and cheerful that's supposed to be coming our way when we think of money. You know, the passage of 2 Corinthians 9, it says to be cheerful givers, not to be hateful givers. Do you give cheerfully when you don't have any money? Of course not. But when you have money and you help somebody in need, how do you feel? You feel awesome. And how does the other person feel? They feel great. I have a very positive relationship with money, and that's because I have changed how I think about it. Now, other people that I know in my life, people, friends, they have a very bad relationship with money. They're afraid of it. Everything is about, I don't have enough money. Have you ever heard your parents or friends say, oh, I don't have any money? Or maybe when you were a kid, you would say, Mom, can you buy me this outfit? Oh, we don't have any money for that. We can't afford that. Did you grow up hearing we can't afford that? By the grace of God, I did not. Instead of what I heard is work hard. Work hard. God will bless you. And so since I was a young boy, I grew up with that mindset. But most people that I meet, they grew up, especially in the church, with the idea of money is scarce. There isn't any of it. And if you ever get it, you better look out because it might burn you into hell. And now we see all these entrepreneurs and we see these generous Christian or just generous people in general that use their money for good. They don't even focus on money. They're focusing on helping people. Elon Musk, Mark Z, the guy from Amazon, the guy that invented Uber. All of these men and women who are entrepreneurs, who are creative geniuses, they're not focusing on money. What do they want to do? They want to help us. And they make mistakes, of course. There are mistakes that are made left and right with any technology, with anything that's built. And we have to, as Jesus said, make sure that our hearts are in the right place. So I am in full agreement with Jesus. Of course I am. But I'm not in agreement with the mentality that money is scarce, that we have to just hide it, save it. And most of all, you better not make it because you might love it. So I want to give you two tips on how I have come to this positive relationship with money. First of all, let me just tell you that I don't worship money. Everything about me when it comes to financial wealth or abundance or just simply being able to pay the bills is about fulfilling my God-given destiny. I believe with my whole heart that I am created to create wealth, not as a focus, but because of the ability and the love that I have for people. And when I help people through my coaching, through my programs, through my podcast, through whatever it be, through my traditional job, then in exchange, people want to pay me and reward me and say thank you. And that's usually done in this capitalistic country that we live in through financial wealth and through currency, through dollars, through money. And so first and foremost, I believe that my positive relationship with money starts with God. It starts with the fact that He created me for good in this world. From Adam and Eve all the way to 2018, God created you and me for good. Now, number two, this is not about a dollar amount. This is about generosity. This is not about making $1 million or $10 million or $10,000, because I don't know what wealth is to you. For me, wealth is $250,000. That's the goal that I want. I want to create that kind of abundance. because I've worked out the numbers. I'm looking at college for my kids. I'm looking at our retirement. I'm looking at helping my mom, my parents. I'm looking at helping my church, giving more. We already give 15 to 20% of our income right now, even though we're nowhere near that number. So it's not about, well, yeah, people say that and then people say, well, when I'm rich, I'll give. We give now. You don't have to wait to be rich to give. It's not about money and how much. The amount that will accomplish your goals is up to you. What is your goal? Let me ask you a question. What is your God-given goal, financial goal? Has anyone ever even asked you that question without making you feel guilty? As I said to you, my financial goal, God-given, is $250,000. If I don't make that in my lifetime, I'll be happy. I'll die happy. I'm not going to die regretting my life or hating my life. I'm happy now. I was happy when I was unemployed. I wasn't wanting that. But when I was making $0, and I thought maybe we might lose our house if not for my lovely wife who was basically carrying us on her shoulders. You know, I know what it's like Paul says, to be in little or to have little and then to have, I wouldn't say much, but I would say to have what we need. And maybe to many people, we have much. So it's not about richness, it's about a number. So let me ask you, what is your number? What are you trusting God for? What are you wanting to make for X, Y, and Z? Number three, this is not about giving it all away. I have a very healthy relationship with money because I'm not trying to just have it so I can give all of it away. Some of it, I just want to enjoy. I like sushi. I like Korean barbecue. I don't like Taco Bell. It makes my stomach hurt. So I'm going to go and spend $50 to be with my wife and have sushi. She doesn't like sushi, but you know what I mean, right? Korean barbecue, we both like that. Or, I don't know, go to the churrascaria, to the Brazilian meat place down the street, and spend $50 with my lovely wife, or even to go spend $80 with three friends that are all maybe under 18 and pay for their way to go see Black Panther and go get a bite to eat. I want to do that. It's not all about, oh, well, I'm going to give it all to the poor or give 50% to the church. I mean, do those things, but it's not about being poor or about giving it all away, meaning, well, you better not take anything for you because, you know, it might burn a hole in your pocket or maybe, I guess, the opposite. You might keep it all and hoard it. You know what happened in the Bible, right? The rich young ruler, he walked away. Yes, do not forget those verses and those parables. They're real. We mess things up as humans. But guess what? We also make beautiful things. People are generous. I know so many people that they will give their last dollar to somebody else. But guess what? If they don't have that dollar, what are they going to give? Nothing. They're going to need from you. I'm not against welfare. I'm not against people needing help. I think that if anything, the rich should help the poor even more. Creating jobs, providing opportunities, education, wealth, yes, even loans. Or just simply being, what is that word? Philanthropists and just giving money away to a foundation where you apply for a scholarship, whatever it may be. It's not about a number. It's not about poverty. Number four, make money. Focus on making money, not saving it, not being afraid of it. Focus on making money. Too many people focus on all the negative aspects of money. Don't spend it. I don't have any. If you get anything, save it. You better not misuse it. You better not spend it. You better pay off your debts first. All these don'ts. No wonder people are afraid of money. Because everything that we grew up with, I thankfully didn't, but most of my friends and most people that you know, maybe yourself, when it comes to money, is negative. Or it's a big secret. Like, well, I don't know how to invest it. I don't know how to buy a stock. Well, you can learn now these days. Or, oh, I don't know what to do with Bitcoin. Is that a big scam or what? Learn about it. There's a bunch of information, free videos on YouTube regarding Bitcoin. And the, what do they call it? Something currency, bit currency or something currency. Learn about it. Don't be afraid of money. Instead, learn, educate yourself. Learn how to make it. Now, if you're a traditional person, you want to have a full-time job the rest of your life, then that's fine. And if you want to be at a $40,000 or $30,000 or $20,000 a year level, then great. If you want to make more, you're going to have to obviously have higher paying jobs. Once you set your budget, once you have a good sense of how much you want to make, how much you and your partner, your wife, your husband needs and your family, and if you're going to put them through college, that's where we're at now, then you begin to think through all those things. What if someone gets sick? Do you have life insurance? Do you have credit card debt that you're paying off? But instead of focusing on all the negative things with it, I teach, focus on making money. Make as much as possible. Because when you learn to make money, it teaches you so much about yourself, about creativity, about entrepreneurship, about relationships. Do you think you can make money just by simply thinking about it? No, you have to get out of your comfort zone. Making money is not easy, guys. Whether it's working at a job, if you want to make more money, what do you have to do? Work hard, move up the ladder, maybe, you know, kiss some butt. You have to do all these things, right? Do what the teacher says. You want to get a better grade, or do what the boss says so you can maybe get on his good side and he can give you a raise, right? I mean, these are the things that people have to do all the time. I'm not talking about anything illegal, by the way. I'm talking just about general, you know, 9 to 5 working hard, and then a boss hopefully will see your performance, or you go to another job and you get something else that pays you where you deserve, or you go get schooling. And so now you have a bachelor's or a master's or a doctorate. Now you can say, hey, I deserve more. That's the traditional path. Or you can start your own business, or you can mix and match. Or maybe you're doing security, or you're working at a restaurant, or you're babysitting, or you're teaching music lessons. That's not easy. Making money is hard. And so focus on making money, because you'll learn so much about yourself, about what you need to do. Money motivates us, because we know that with money, you can buy yourself a nice outfit and you can help somebody else. You can treat your friend to, I don't know, Chick-fil-A. I don't even like Chick-fil-A, but people love it. Number two, I teach spend money. You're like, what? Yes, spend money. I'm not saying spend more than what you make. Okay, so again, hear me right. But spend money. What are you making the money for? Just to be afraid of it? Just to give it all away? Sure, give all of it away if you can. Oh, pay your bills. Okay, good. Pay your bills. Help your mom give to the church. Now what? Spend it. Sure, invest it. Yes, but more than anything, make money and spend money. That's what's so motivating about this. Who is not motivated by making money? Everyone. If you're not, then you might be one of those very special people. And I have some in my own family. But if you have a hard time with money, I recommend make money. Make more of it. Make as much as you can. Legally, blah, 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 obviously, right? And then second, spend it. Spend it on yourself, on your friends. Now, let me say, don't spend more than what you make. That's called debt. And I'm not advocating debt. But imagine if you could make $200,000 by age 18, and you can just pay cash for college. Wouldn't that be like amazing? Imagine if by age 18 you could make, not have someone give you this, but through whatever means, entrepreneurship, business, YouTube, traditional jobs, by age 18, imagine if you could have in the bank, let's say, $200,000. Wouldn't that be a dream come true? You could buy yourself a car and pay your way through college and not put anybody in debt, your parents, yourself, no one. And you can go to your dream school. But we don't teach that. Instead, we teach, well, we'll see what happens. Well, just be poor. Well, be afraid of money. Don't make any, you know, because the love of money is the root of all evil. Yes, it is. Make money, spend money. Focus on spending money. Why? Because when you think of what you want, let's say right now there's this keyboard that's 61 keys that's made by M Audio. I want to play it in church. Can you believe that? I want to buy something for God. How am I going to buy that? Only if I make more money. With what I currently make, I can't go buy that keyboard because all our income is, you know, is spoken for. I can't just go buy that keyboard. I have to make more money. And so I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can do this, this, and this, mow lawns or work with some people or whatever it is, sell some videos and make another, whatever, $1,000 this month so I can go buy that keyboard and maybe I can even buy a foot pedal. So I can go play here as in heaven at church in a month or so. What's evil about that? And I believe that most people, that's what they want to do with money. So spend money. Think about what you want to spend your money on. Stop being afraid of spending money. You like that video game? Go buy it. You like that new car? Buy it. Now, as I said, if you can't afford it, then wait. make more money. I don't believe in saving. And I know that that's controversial. But hear me. I don't believe in saving because it puts me in the wrong frame of mind. If I'm saving money, you're in scarcity. But if I'm spending money, I'm in abundance. Now, how do I spend money? Well, I have to make money. See what that does? It puts you in the right frame of mind to make money, to create wealth, which is God-given, which is an ability that God's given all of us at different levels. Some have five talents, some three, some one. Every one of us is going to make different amounts of money. As I said, number two, it's not about the amount. It's about God's ability in you, about you fulfilling your God-given destiny. Maybe your destiny is to make $10,000 a year. And so guess what? Go do that and stop making $2,000 a year or being unemployed. But maybe your destiny is to make $10 million. Go and do that. Fulfill that. God is not against you making $10 million. And then go spend that money. Go give half of it away. Spend it on yourself. Go buy your mom a brand new house. And then, yes, invest, save, of course. 10%, 20% to the church. Heck yes, give it to my church. We need it. We're helping a bunch of kids that deal with mental health issues. Yes, come give it to us. Imagine if pastors could make so much money in their own businesses that they could just not charge the church for their services. You think boards wouldn't just love that? If all of us could just give our salary back but yet have our expenses covered somewhere else, I would do it in a second, in a heartbeat. I would not do both. But right now I can't. God has provided through my job, and I'm so thankful. But the point is, make money, spend money, and then the rest are details. The rest, God will provide. The rest, God will give you a heart for. Now, if you don't have a heart to give, then ask the Lord and confess it. There is envy in this world. There is hate. There is jealousy, okay? So there are people that focus on just hoarding money or things or wealth or cars or motorcycles or clothes. Poor people are hoarders. I read a statistic a while back that the people that tend to give the most are the poorest people in this world, not the richest. So you can see that rich people, like Jesus said, it's hard for them to be kingdom-minded. But if you are called to be rich and kingdom-minded, then more power to you. Go make it happen and teach the rest of us how to do that. Go teach 10 kids at your local city college or your local church or Boys and Girls Club how to make money like you did. I remember years ago, I was driving my little, 1984 Ford truck that was like falling apart. I was getting gas at a Chevron station and drove up and there was a Porsche next to me. And I didn't do this and I regret it to this day. Everything in me wanted to ask that man, probably in his 50s, 60s, how did you make money to buy that Porsche? Because I believe that's my destiny. Now I'm driving a Lexus. I don't make $1 million. But you know what? I wish I had had the guts to ask that man. God was telling me. I am convinced to this day that I disobeyed God. He was telling me, ask him how he made his fortune. Second day or the next day, a Lexus drove up next to me. You know what? This time I didn't miss it. I asked him, how did you get that? He said, I bought it used. Or maybe he said it was leased. I was 23. I had no idea what that even meant. But then guess what? Later on, when I got a nicer car, I'm like, oh, that's what he meant. He didn't spend his money on a car. He leased it or he rented it. I learned something new that day. If you have wealth, if you have created a business, if you are making $100,000 or more, $250,000 or maybe $1 million, teach others how you did that. Teach me. Teach people. Because the focus should be on making money, spending money. Notice I'm not saying on hoarding money, loving money. There is such a thing as envy, as I said. Confess that. Say, Lord Jesus, help me. I screwed up with that. I bought all these, cars for myself. Or I bought too many outfits. Lord, forgive me because you were not in that. But if God says, hey, buy yourself 10 outfits because it's been 10 years since you even bought yourself anything, a pair of shoes, then you do that in Jesus' name. Ask him for his input. Stop listening to everybody's input on this. Because as I said, most of the input in religious circles especially is be afraid of money. Don't have it. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. It's like sex, right? Just don't think about sex for money. And guess what happens? Kids are having sex or being promiscuous or dealing with homosexual thoughts or same-sex attraction behind their parents' back. Because we never talk about it in a healthy way. And also talk about the dangers of it, of both money and sex. And rock and roll, I guess, right? So in closing, I just want to bless you. I just want to free you. And maybe you have questions for me. As I said, I'm not rich. I'm not making $250, but that is my goal. And I I'm proud of the fact that my goal is 250. And I have a plan and I am working that plan. And I want to do that so I can teach you how to do what I did. And that I can use 50% of that income to give it all away. Guess what? I don't need 250. You think any human being needs $1 million? I mean, what are you going to buy? Just more of the same stuff? You're going to give it away. It's just a law of proportions. A human being doesn't need $1 million worth of stuff. It's just impossible. It's just one of us. And once you have a car for 10 years. You're not going to buy 10 cars. And yet people do that. And that's where then the Bible, I think, is clear. Be careful with what you do with your money. Give it all away. The greatest heroes to me are those wealthy people who give all their money away. That's who I want to be. And guess what? That's who I am now, even though I'm nowhere near 250. Make money, make lots of it in Jesus' name, and spend that money in Jesus' name. And then third, do whatever God is telling you to do. Save it, give it, invest it, give it to the poor, build an orphanage in Russia, whatever it may be. Give it to the church, whatever. Buy your mom 2 homes and your kids and your sisters and your brothers. Do it in Jesus' name. And if you're not called to do this, if you're just called to be poor or to be content, you know what? All of us are called to be content. But maybe you're called to be content making $1,000 a month. Then be content. But don't put that contentment on me. Don't tell me that that should be my contentment because you're content at 1,000. Maybe I'm content at 100,000 a month. Why not? That might be my God-given destiny. Let's love each other. Let's learn from each other. You know what? Because I may need to learn from you. Maybe your, quote, humility or your low means can teach me a huge lesson. We all need each other. We need wealthy, rich millionaires in the kingdom of God. We need them. It's hard for them to enter, it says in Luke 18, but it's possible. I hope I can become a wealthy man in the kingdom of God so you can learn from me. I hope you can learn from me even now, just with my attitude towards money. And if I die and I don't make 250, I will die a happy man, making what I'm making now and blessing a ton of people with what I have. Because it's not about money for me. It's about being true to my destiny. It's about helping a ton of people through these podcasts, through these live sessions, through clients that I help. The other day I had someone that paid me a couple $100 to help them with some stuff. That, you know what? I gave him $1,000 worth of input and love. He gave me $100. Who won? He did. But I was blessed. It was a great thing. I gave freely from all that I have learned, all that I have spent, the thousands of dollars in master's degrees, in anxiety training, in just reading and learning and living life. All of us, you have a gift to give. Give it away. But don't be afraid to have an exchange of currency. You need money to survive. Not just because we're in the U.S. Every part of the world needs money to survive. Maybe one day we will need money. We'll just do Bitcoin, as they say, or cryptocurrency, that's what it was, or whatever it may be. VR, AR, maybe we'll just exchange, I don't know, hugs and pleasantries, and that's how we'll live. That would be a great day. But in the meantime, make money, spend it, listen to Jesus, confess your sins, ask God for the Holy Spirit's guidance in this. Stop thinking scarcity is godly and abundance is evil. And instead, ask the Spirit to lead you to the greatest heights possible. And pray for me that I will get to 250 so that I can teach you how to do the same. Okay. Thanks so much, guys. I will see you next time. By the way, if you want my coaching, speaking of services, please go to lifeofgosto.com/coaching or just drop me an email or just simply write me back. I would love to help you in the area, especially of abundance, of love, of career, relationships, mental health. Thank you again, guys. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android. Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.